From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Over three decades ago, ECM Records producer Manfred Eicher asked a young guitarist if he'd like to release a debut album. The guitarist said he wasn't ready, but Eicher persisted. Although the budding player said he felt like he was hanging on for dear life, he made the record. The guitarist was John Abercrombie, and the 1974 album Timeless is now regarded as a masterpiece. Abercrombie is now established as one of the giants of jazz guitar, playing on nearly 50 ECM recordings. In 2000, he established a quartet with violinist Mark Feldman, bass player Mark Johnson, and drummer Joey Barron. They released two discs, Cat and Mouse and Class Trip. The new one is called The Third Quartet. John Abercrombie joins us in studio for a welcome to the program. It's so nice to meet you.
Oh, it's nice to meet you. Nice to be here.
There's a lot of improvisation on this CD, as there is in many of the recordings that you make and certainly your performances. And you've also said that it sounds more like chamber music than free jazz. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think it's kind of literal in a way because... I think it has a lot to do with the instrumentation. I mean, it does have a lot to do not only with how we play, but with the fact that it's a string band. You're hearing an acoustic bass, a completely acoustic violin, of course, acoustic drums. I mean, you know, but I'm the only electric guy in the band, really. And so I think it's the nature of the instrumentation, which, when we improvise freely, that is, without a structure, it tends to sound a little bit more like 20th century classical music or something. And a lot of that has to do with the influence of Mark Feldman, of course, because he's such a main voice, and he's so classically trained, and that he improvises almost in a more classical manner as opposed to a jazz manner.
You've played with a lot of drummers. I mean, drummers, big names, Chico Hamilton, Jack DeJohnette. Now Joey Barron. What do you look for when you're looking for a drummer to complement you, your sound, the sound that you want to make? What are you listening for?
What am I listening for? Because people usually ask me, what are you looking for in a drummer? And I usually say, it's a guy with a car.
Usually it's the guy with the house where you can go and practice.
Yeah, something, you know, like... All the drummers I've worked with, as a leader or a sideman, are all fantastic. I think what I look for is a guy that leaves a lot of space, just like I look for in a bass player. And Joey, for me, is perfect because he leaves certain kinds of spaces that allow me to breathe and play the way I like to play. Yet he can swing like mad. He can play if we want to play in that style. He can go there. I look for guys that make me sound good too.
You have a great bass player, Mark Johnson.
Oh yeah, the best.
Who rounds out the quartet sound. What does he give? What does he contribute?
A very similar thing to Joey, but also with Mark, it's tone. I mean, he has one of the most beautiful sounds on the instrument, you know, acoustically, and even when he plays through an amplifier, he's very sensitive to sound, and his sound complements mine really nicely because it's really warm and dark.
Yeah. We want to play a little Name That Tune.
Okay.
Okay, this is number one.
Yeah, I know this one. Mickey and Sylvia, Love is Strange. Sure.
Love is strange.
My favorite.
Now tell us why. What did you hear in that that intrigued you when you first heard it?
Well, I think it was just the way the thing opens with this sort of guitar arpeggiated little sound. I mean, it was the sound of electric guitar that grabbed my ear first, and this was one of the things that I heard when I was growing up and going to eating my lunch as a kid and putting a nickel in the jukebox and hearing Mickey and Sylvia sing Love is Strange, hearing Chuck Berry sing, you know, School Days. It was the attraction of the electric guitar, not so much their voices or anything. I think it was more just the sound of the electric guitar. You know, it was just like, wow, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. My first guitar was a steel string acoustic guitar that my parents bought, and I almost gave up playing the guitar because the thing was so damn hard to play. I mean, it was just the strings were, there was like telephone cables, you know, and they were up off the fretboard very high, and it was just so painful for a young kid to play an instrument like this, you know, that I wound up taking it out in the yard and using it as a baseball bat at one point. You know, and then after hearing things like Love is Strange and Chuck Berry, I heard my neighbor, who I can't remember his name now, but I just heard this sound of an electric guitar kind of drifting over to my porch where I was sitting. So I walked over, and here was this guy with his feet up on the porch railing, you know, playing an electric guitar, just strumming chords. And I was so fascinated with it that that's when I started talking to my parents. I said, I really want an electric guitar, you know. So I got a little student model electric guitar with an amp. And that was, then I was happy, you know. Then I knew that this was at least something I could deal with. It didn't hurt my fingers as much. And I just love the sound of the electric guitar.
Yeah. Here's another tune.
This is the original recording. Oh, this sounds great. Oops. Oh, this is great. Yeah, Round Trip, Ornette Coleman.
Sure.
Don Cherry.
Yeah.
I haven't heard this recording in a while. Actually, when I chose this tune to play on the current CD, I didn't listen to this recording. I mean, as a matter of fact, I didn't even want to play this tune. I was looking for another tune. I was looking for a tune they recorded. It might be from the same CD, the same record. But the tune was called Ramblin'. And when I looked through a music book on the computer, I found Ramblin'. And at the bottom, on the same page, when I printed it out, was this tune Round Trip. I mean, it was just a fluke. You know, I didn't remember the tune. And then when the music came out of the printer, I looked through Ramblin'. And I said, well, this is a great tune. I mean, this could work with the band. And then I saw Round Trip, and I said, well, it looks simple, so I just played the melody. I said, oh, I like this better, you know. This is more what I really want to do because it has a certain kind of pulse to it, a jazz pulse. I mean, there's not much to it. It's just this simple, almost childlike melody, but it's great to improvise from.
Here's the third one.
Okay.
How long has it been since you've heard that?
Ages.
Bill Evans, Epilogue.
Yeah.
You cover this one.
Yeah. He plays it, well, he wrote it, but he plays it faster. We play it more slow, and we divide the melody is written in, it's just this little melody in fourths, and we just, Mark Feldman and I divide the melody. I play the top, he plays the bottom, and it works perfectly for guitar and violin. So it's like a real vignette. I mean, it doesn't, it's not something you stretch out on and, you know, go crazy on it. It really is, it's just this beautiful little piece. I've always loved this thing, but I love Bill Evans. I love just about everything Bill did.
There's something about, I think I read about you, like his waltz time that he would do, that three-quarter time.
Yeah, he was famous for writing waltzes and playing a lot of waltzes, and that really influenced me because I write a lot. As a matter of fact, I think it was the album before this, the CD before this called Class Trip, is almost, I think everything is in a triple meter, almost.
Yeah. There's a piece on the CD called Tres.
Tres, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of shifting rhythms, that's kind of your specialty.
Yeah, that's basically a waltz. I mean, it just also has a Spanish sound to me. I've never written anything that had a Spanish flavor to it. I don't know why. But this one, when I wrote it and I played it with a friend, he said, boy, this really sounds kind of Spanish. That's a name that came from another great drummer I worked with named Adam Nussbaum, and we had a trio, which is still an ongoing trio, with the Hammond organ and drums. So sometimes when I'd be on a gig and I would play something really kind of fast, but I'm doing it with my thumb, and I would just look over at Adam, and he would just kind of make this expression, like, you know, he would take his thumb and sort of blow on it like the thumb was burning, you know. So, oh man, you're. And then so we'd come off the set and he'd go, man, Thumbelina, man, you were doing it again, you know. So that's where that comes from. But that was really only his, as far as I know. I think he's the only one that uses that name. I certainly hope that's not common knowledge and that people are walking around saying, oh, did you hear Thumbelina's new record today? You know, wow, did you hear Thumbelina playing? No, it's not quite a well-known name. I'm surprised, you know. I didn't know anybody knew about that.
Yeah. Well, why did you go from the pick to the thumb?
Mostly for sound. I mean, it's. I started playing with my thumb instead of using a pick about maybe 10 years ago. I just felt so much better. I mean, it not only sounded better to me, it sounded much warmer. It just felt better because all of a sudden the flesh of my hand was right on the string. I didn't have this piece of plastic that kind of interfered, you know.
Describe the guitar you have with you today. It is a beautiful piece of work, I have to say.
It really is, yeah. This guitar was made for me by a company in Poughkeepsie, New York, called Brian Moore Custom Guitars. The custom really is, it wasn't custom made for me, that's just the name of their company. And this was made for me because about 3 years ago I had a fire in my house and I lost pretty much everything, you know, in terms of instruments, clothes, CDs, music. I mean, it was a traumatic, horrifying experience. And right after that happened, it made the local Putnam Valley paper, of course, you know. Jazz musician's house burns down, pictures of burned guitars in the yard, you know, just like, I guess people really need news, you know, really seriously. I mean, you know, it's a small town, I mean, you know, so this was probably big news. This was next to, you know, snow plowing. This was probably going to win that. So anyway, he called the man who runs the company, his fellow Patrick Cummings, called me up and said, oh man, I saw what happened. Do you have any guitars left? I said, well, not really. I said, you know, one of your guitars is pretty badly charred. Maybe I'll bring it to you. And he said, well, don't worry. He said, we'll get you an instrument. So he gave me an instrument the next day, and then he made this one for me. It took a few months and they put this one together for me, and it's just a great little instrument. It's very versatile. If you can see it has sort of holes on it, like most guitars have F holes.
Yeah.
The company refers to these as E holes because they're more in the shape of an E. But it also, the nice thing about this guitar is it's very light. It's fully loaded, this guitar, you know.
Well, we're going to hear you play it. You're going to take us out with some music. I believe you're going to play a number for us called Number 26. This is not on the album.
Yeah, no, Number 26 is. And now this is on the album. But It's not called that on the album.
Ah.
But it is called that in French. It's called Vingt-Six.
Well, before we hear Vingt-Six, as it were, I want to thank you, John Abercrombie, for coming into the studio and remind people that your new CD, The Third Quartet, is on the ECM label. It was a pleasure to meet you and talk to you.
Thanks very much.
You can hear the full Studio Foray performance of John Abercrombie's Vingt-Six, as well as more conversation on our website, npr.org. Our feature was produced by Ned Wharton. The engineer was Chris Nelson. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News, directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from David Rector, Christine Arrowsmith, Jocelyn Frank, and Elaine Heinzman. Our editor for the past 2 weeks has been Dave Pignanelli. The senior producer is Robert Mileski. The technical director is Rob Byers, with audio engineers Greg Gavin and Joe Mills. Key Mileski is the reference librarian. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith. I'm Leanne Hansen.